Today on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, the most divisive albums in rock. You know, there are classic albums. There are albums that most people agree that maybe isn't the band's best work. And then there are those records that, you know, sort of like it's everybody's shorts in a bunch. Albums like the Beatles' White Album and Metallica's Black Album. You know, these albums made fans' head explode, and not necessarily in a good way. So that is what we are going to talk about today. Those records that divided fans right down the middle. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, it is the one and only Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Podcast. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. And sitting next to me on the co-pilot's chair this evening is the lovely and talented Miss Lily Von Six.
What's up? Whatever. Ridiculous human.
LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is the website. Got all kind of cool stuff there, tons of podcasts. What's really going on, though, guys, is you want to go to LouLombardiRocks.com. That gets you all kind of exclusive, cool stuff that you don't get anyplace else. In fact, we do like an after show, like a post-podcast rap party there, where not rap, W-A-R-P, not R-A-P, okay? Don't get your shorts in a bunch. We hang out there. We tell some crazy jokes and stuff like that. It gets a little dirty. It gets a little raunchy. You never know what the subject matter is going to be. This week, it's kind of freeform there. But you can find out about that at LouLombardiRocks.com. There's exclusive music. It's a great community, too, where you can interact. We're in there, like, all the time talking to you guys about music. It's a cool thing. LouLombardiRocks.com. And I think that's all I'm going to do for the plugs right now, because I am really excited about today's topic, which is these divisive albums. We're going to get into that in a second. But I have, as I mentioned in a second ago, I've got Lily V6 here, and it would just be wrong of me to not have Lily kind of give her little synopsis of the week. So what's been going on with you, Lily V6?
Well, on Friday, I went to the Hard Rock Cafe to see the band Red. And with our local openers Inside Out and Shattered, which was awesome. And I got to hang out with some crazy Inside Out fans from Johnstown. They were great. And actually, the rest of the weekend was mostly mellow. I cleaned. So, but this week, I'm going to see Fuel on Saturday with my sister at the Meadows Casino right here in Washington.
So if you want to know, you want to meet Lily in person, go
buy
to the
Fuel drink.
And buy Lily a drink. You can go to the Fuel show at the Meadows. That is on Racetrack Road. What is that considered? Is that considered Meadowlands or Washington?
I think they consider it Washington.
In Washington, PA. But you guys just go to the Meadows schedule there. We are not here to plug the Meadows. They don't give us any money.
They don't
or anything
give us
like
anything.
That. But they do get rock shows in there. And Peter Frampton has been there. Ted Nugent. A lot of
Eddie
cool.
Eddie Money.
Eddie Money.
Who's sick now?
Money Penny from James Bond has been there.
I saw Vince Neil there. But, like, he wasn't really bad that day, so that's good.
So is it anyone? Well, you know, you posted those videos from that.
Yeah.
And he did. I thought he sounded good.
He did sound good. The first time I saw him without Motley Crue, he sounded like shit. And the second time, he sounded great. So it's really a crapshoot. Depends on if he rests his voice, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah. It was good. They have a lot of great shows there.
Yeah. It's a fun thing. There's a lot to do there. There's the ponies. There's the
nightclubs.
Yeah, the nightclubs, the one-armed bandits. There's
gambling, drinking.
They've got tables there, which yeah. I remember that they were going to put those in, and I hadn't been there in a long time. I was down there on this weekend, met a friend down there, and I was like, oh, crap, you know, this is like
crap,
Vegas.
Craps.
Crap, you can play craps. Why is it called craps?
I don't know.
Somebody, one of our fans chime in and tell us why it's called craps.
Give us some information.
And if you tell me why it's called craps, I will send you a Ludini mug. So, but it's got to be the right answer.
Don't just make something up.
We're going to fact check you.
Or, like, get really creative with it.
Okay. This is When I'm Gone by Dirty Money. Not to be confused with Eddie Money.
Gotcha.
Not Dirty Money. Dirty Honey. Did I say Dirty Money?
You said Dirty Money.
Dirty Money. That would be a great name for... My band is looking for a name. Right now, we're calling ourselves 20,000 Metal Dicks. And that's going to be a play... That, you're going to see that at a show. Oh, we're going to need to talk after we're done.
Okay.
You're going to see that pop up on some posters and stuff like that. If you do, that's us. We're kind of going a little incognito. It's not that incognito now that I announced it to like millions of fans. But this is When I'm Gone by Dirty Honey and the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Dirty Honey, everybody. It's the only good kind of honey is Dirty Honey. DirtyHoney.com is a website, and I think Dirty Honey kicks some honey butt, if when you ask me.
What does that even mean?
I think the band's great. I love it. I love the record. I've listened to the whole thing. It's on my, it's on like one of my rotations there on Spotify, dirtyhoney.com. Go check them out. So let's talk about something. I don't know. What do you want to talk about? We're going to talk about these crazy
albums. Do you
want to
actually
albums.
Do our topic?
Maybe we should do our topic. You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of feeling like maybe it would be a good thing to kind of maybe discuss the topic. Maybe I'm getting a little extreme here. But maybe it's a good idea.
Maybe. So. Wolf and Raven are here.
Wolf and Raven?
It does sound a little like
Wolf
it.
And Raven. That sounds like some kind of crazy, like, micro...
That could be a band name.
That, like, no, that sounds like one of those, like, you know, like locally distilled whiskeys or something.
Mm.
Wolfenraven.
Yeah, I would never drink that.
I would.
We know that.
I would. I'm like, give it to me right now. I want to drink it. I don't even know what it is. I'll drink it. Okay, so we are talking about albums that today's show is on divisive albums. Albums that maybe split fans or really kind of like, and I'm not talking about because the guy was naked on the cover or something like that. We're talking about the music.
Yeah, I don't care about anybody being naked. Happen.
There, we could do a whole show on album. We have done shows on album covers in the past.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that one.
but this is about records that either like were not what fans expected and some people loved and some people hated, or critics hated and fans loved, or critics loved and fans hated, and then eventually, you know, or there was a big lineup, an important lineup shift.
Or what have you.
Sometimes these things happen and all of a sudden, you know, but the band carries on. And again, some fans love, some fans hate. So that is what a divisive album is. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So I have a little bit of a list and Lily has a list. So let's go ahead and jump right in and talk about what the heck it is we are going to talk about.
Okay. So on my list, well, okay. So I find when an album is polarizing or divisive, it's due to changing sounds or waiting too long to come up with an album and the fans are like disappointed or whatever. But the first one I put, and this is one where the fans sort of were upset at first, but now it's considered to be genius 50 years later. It's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from 67 by the Beatles. Like I said, it actually upset fans when it came out because it was a change from their pop sound. They wanted to do a little bit more experimental. And it's been noted as one of the first concept albums. And like I said, after 50 years, it still sort of really holds strong. Everybody thinks it's like one of the best albums ever. And then it doesn't really sound dated to me for the most part. But people are way more accepting of it now, considered a masterpiece. But then like the fans were truly upset that they changed from their little mop top happiness to something like this.
So. The Beatles had been evolving a bit. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those bands that really, they were always hungry to do something new, do something a little bit different. And there have been artists like that that have been able to go like that and really, you know, if you're doing that, you're going to have hits and misses. The key is, can you stay out there enough that you can get fans back interested again when you have another hit in between your misses? A good example is David Bowie, who constantly, you know, he would, what? I mean, he like sort of changed for a while. He changed what he was doing on every record.
Yeah. Well, I think he was getting bored and he just wanted to.
Yeah. And and that's what happens with artists sometimes. I mean, like if you look at some David Bowie's or very early stuff, what a lot of people don't realize is when David Bowie first emerged, his name was Davy Jones, and he changed his name to David Bowie. But in any case, Sgt. Pepper's, I want to speak for a minute about Sgt. Pepper's because I've got the Beatles on my list as well. Sgt. Pepper's, I didn't even realize, and I'm old, did not even realize how important that record was for most of my adult life until, you know, I really started to study it and started to really understand it. Complete reinvention of so many things, and so many things were that had never been heard before were done on that record. And one of the reasons why the record was a kind of controversial was a song like A Day in the Life, which the song was actually banned.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it was banned because it criticized World War One. It criticized the British Parliament, and that noise thing there at the end before the big crescendo, that was considered like really scary and offensive. It's funny, you know. Now, you know, all these years later, it's a classic. It is. I will just go out and say this, and I think most people agree with me. It is the greatest rock album of all time, ever, hands down. There's not a bad song on it. All the songs are actually really freaking amazing.
I think it's great.
And it changed. So many things happened. And so many doors were opened up after that record happened. And it was all because these four guys said, well, what if we were a different band? What if we pretended on this record, instead of saying we're the Beatles, let's pretend we're this other band. We'll call it Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's And so we'll be this other band. And it just goes to show you, sometimes just by shifting your perspective, what you can kind of accomplish and where you can kind of see things from. So that is, I think in many ways it's a polarizing album. I'm going to chime in with one that's on my list because it is a Beatles album as well. And that is the White Album. Eventually, Sgt. Pepper's was declared amazing and everybody loved it. And a lot of people, the Beatles were also heavily being, were heavily into transcendental meditation at this time and everything. But by the time they got around to doing the White Album, some things had changed. John and Yoko became very, very close. This was causing tension in the group. also, and it's never been completely explained, but their association with the Maharishi dissolved. So they became different spiritually. They were in a little different place. As well as, this is the first album where they ever brought in guest musicians to play. Most notably, Eric Clapton on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were really expecting, okay, the Beatles did the Sgt. Pepper's thing. It was freaked us all out and everything, but now we've like come to accept it. So everybody's expecting Everybody was expecting Sgt. Pepper's 2. Mm-hmm. The White Album is not Sgt. Pepper's 2. It's a much darker album. The subject matter on a lot of songs is very different. It contains songs like Helter Skelter, Revolution Number 9, which every Beatle was against putting on the album, but it's on the album. It's the first record with backwards masking, where they intentionally put backwards messages in the songs and stuff like that.
Very experimental.
So it was a whole new thing that they were really, really doing. And some people, a lot of people wanted to like it, but weren't sure. They were really loved. They had finally said, okay, we'll get with Sgt. Pepper's, but this White Album thing, they just couldn't handle. So it divided a lot of people. Many years later, it is considered, again, another Beatles masterpiece. Although some people still disagree with some of the choices on the record, mainly Revolution Number 9. That is still, if you don't know it, it's not really a song.
No, it's not.
It's like a musical piece, and you can go check it out for yourself. But that would be on my list is the White Album by the Beatles. So what do you got next?
Next on my list is Kid A. From Radiohead, come out in 2000. It's following one of their greatest album, which is OK Computer. It's their most successful album. Some fans were not expecting the experimental stuff with the soundscapes and the dance and the rock, and they like merged jazz in there and everything. Tom York was sort of envisioning a radical change in direction, as artists do, as we just discussed, but they incorporated the synthesizers, drum machines, strings, and bass, and they actually never released singles or videos to promote this album at all, so everybody just expected another OK Computer out of them. And the change from the earlier sounds sort of divided fans and critics, and some thought it was pretentious or deliberately obscure. And I don't love that one by them, but people who are diehard Radiohead fans love it, so... Which I am not. I only like OK Computer.
OK Computer.
Right.
OK. Right. I'm not familiar with that record at all. It did, when I did my research, I did see it, but I kind of like skipped over it. Radiohead is, you know, there's another one of those bands that likes to push boundaries, it likes to do different things, likes to constantly change it up. A lot like David Bowie.
A lot like that, yes.
A lot like that, you know.
And I would actually put Radiohead out of my listening group completely, because that's an ex-husband thing where he listened to that incessantly, like Rush and Led Zeppelin. But I've accepted Led Zeppelin is awesome and Rush is okay, I guess. But Radiohead would be one that I wouldn't listen to anymore if I didn't love OK Computer so much.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Lily.
All right. Bite me.
So I'm going to switch it up a little bit and get into the little bit of heavier mode here. I want to talk about a often forgotten Black Sabbath album. And this is the album that they did right after. A lot of people forget Ronnie James Dio left the band too. Not just legit. Ozzy. Eventually Ronnie left as well to pursue his own thing. and it left a void. And there were some different choices that were explored for the next phase of Black Sabbath. One of the ideas was, well, instead of doing a Black Sabbath thing, we're going to do like a super group with like Vinnie Appice, or maybe it's Carmen Appice, and Geezer and Tony and a singer. Some of the other singers that were considered, one of them, and this blew my mind, was David Coverdale.
Mm-hmm.
He was approached for this record.
Yep.
And there was somebody else. Do you remember who it was? I forget who it was. There was somebody else very, very famous who was out at that time who was approached as well. But their manager, who was Ozzy's former manager at this point, Sharon Osbourne's father, suggested Ian Gillan from Deep Purple. And it's, if you think about it, you know, Tony Iommi said this was a band that was created on paper. And you can kind of see that. You've got the singer from one of the greatest hard rock heavy bands of all time, Deep Purple, teaming up with the band that invented heavy metal. So, you know, there was a lot to live up to, if you will, with this record. And the record's called Born Again. I didn't say the title
That's
of it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is it charted pretty high. It was pretty set, made money for them, but it quickly lost favor with fans and was kind of languished for a long time. And eventually has come back as, and many people have rediscovered this record and have come back and said, no, it's very cool. I'm a little, I think the production's weird on it. I'm not real crazy about that. Ian Gillan is an amazing singer and I'm a huge Sabbath fan. So I think it's a cool record, but there's some stuff about also the album. This is where the album cover was a little bit controversial too, with the demon baby.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, at the time you guys got to put, you know, nowadays we're so jaded by everything. You know, we're seeing crazy stuff, you know, memes and stuff on Twitter and Instagram, you know, all day long that are crazy. And we just don't even think about it. But at that time, that album cover was considered a little, ooh, what are they? And they called it Born Again. And that was a whole thing in the 80s. There was all these the religious right was very popular in politics. And so a lot of people were like, oh, what, you know, this is, oh my God, you know, what are they doing? I would tell you, go and give this record a listen if you haven't heard it in a while. I've revisited it. I've come back to it a few times, and it has grown on me. But I did not like it for a long time. I wanted to like it because I love Ian's singing. He's one of my favorite singers, and I love Black Sabbath. It just took a little while for me to come around to it. So if you're not familiar with Born Again by Black Sabbath, it was one of those records that kind of like got everybody's shorts in a bunch for a while, and it was kind of left on the shelf and then has kind of made a resurgence. So Born Again by Black Sabbath.
Look it up.
We'll do one more, Lily, before we play a song.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw out there Chinese Democracy just to get it off my list for 2008, Guns N' Roses. This is following 1993's The Spaghetti Incident. And the reason why fans are angry about this album is the first problem is you made them wait 15 years for new material. That was anticipated 4 years. Second, only 3 of the songs on the album weren't leaked to the public, thanks to the internet. And third, it was garbage, according to most fans. It was a letdown. However, critics loved this album. It got great reviews. Go ahead.
Maybe in 20 years, people will look
cool
back
again
and go like, you know, wow, we forgot what we didn't realize, you know, what an amazing, important record was. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Oh, that's okay. Some people say the sound is dated. They took too long for a comeback. Some of the critics who didn't like it, the New York Times quoted, it was a loud last gasp from the reign of an indulged pop star. Spin Magazine said the only way the record could have lived up to its legend would have been for it to never come out at all. But like I said, it was met with positive reviews and got number 3 on the charts. So
I'm not. This isn't on my list. I know it's not on Lily's list. But just to follow on that same type of thing is, I just was thinking about it now. Is I'd put Third Stage by Boston on that list.
Yes.
I mean, I know that the rocks, the classic rock stations, the heritage rock stations, whatever, loved Cool the Engines and Amanda, but they're really weak songs. And it was just, they only got played because Boston was so huge in the 70s and people were so, they were starving. You know, Eddie Murphy tells this joke about where he's like, he said, if you're starving and somebody gives you a saltine cracker, you're like, that's pretty good. What was that? Oh, delicious. That's what I feel like the third stage.
That's a great
Boston
pick,
was.
Actually. I'm surprised that wasn't.
And I would put Chinese Democracy. Chinese Democracy, though, is more on a divisive thing because there are a lot of people, like critics, who are saying, no, there's some very, there's some really cool stuff on this record, and you should check it out.
People were just ready to hate. That's all.
That, and I think, too, they took so damn long, just like Boston did. Mm-hmm. It just, even Axl Rose, who's one of the greatest front men ever in the history of rock and roll, you know, couldn't pull off a 15-year wait with all the BS that happened in between. He just as great as he is, he couldn't make it happen. We'll be right back with some more divisive albums on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Remember to join us afterwards at lulombardirocks.com. We're going to have a good time. Talk to you guys here in a minute. That is Mechanism. And let me tell you how to find a little mechanism for yourself there, Lily Von Six.
Oh, my goodness.
You can go to Mecha-hyphenism.
Spell it.
meka-nism.com. And that was a suggestion today. I don't want to play the same bands all the time. You know, just like constantly, you know. And so I posted a thing in my private group today, and you guys all chimed in with some great. And this was a suggestion by Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Mm. So, Chris, thank you for the suggestion, and I hope you enjoyed hearing some Mechanism. A Barb Hirlejewski mentioned Signs of Madness and Auto Erotica, and Signs of Madness will get them on in a future show. Auto Erotica, though, Barb, unless you can send it to me, I couldn't find like a professional recording of theirs. All I could find was like a live video of them on YouTube. So I can't do stuff like that, like recorded from a camera mic. It's got to be like
it starts to sound really bad.
Yeah, it's got to be like a pro recording, something that, you know, sounds like, you know, like what you'd hear on the radio. So if you have that band stuff in that form, like, let me know where to find it, and we'll definitely get them on. But it was Daniel Santiago was the one who recommended I play Dirty Honey. So, Daniel, thank you for that. We've got Lane coming up, Sean Lane, in a little while. Eric Anthony wanted to hear Res Band. No Res Band, Eric, I'm sorry. You'll have to listen to, Michael Sweets from Stripers podcast. He'll play some Res Band for you. Mark Stratton, Norm La Chapelle, like Dave Chappelle, but La Chapelle.
I like that.
John Fox chimed in. Bill Damiano. So you guys gave me some great ideas. We will
Bruce
go ahead.
Grimm.
We will. Yeah. Bruce Grimm chimed in. We will go ahead and be picking and choosing from your list, you guys's.
Which I never said.
I think we're gonna go to Sheets's after this. So we'll be picking from some of these other ones a little bit later on. And thanks, Tim Mitchell reached out to as well. He's got a project. They're looking for a singer. I told him I would mention it. This is like a pretty serious thing they have going on. A lot of these guys have been in major touring acts that you, if I said their names, you would know. So if you're interested in that, get a hold of me and I will try to connect you with Tim Mitchell. Not to be confused with Kim Mitchell, who is going for a soda right now somewhere in Canada with Geddy Lee and Rick Emmett.
Don't do it.
Okay, so divisive. We're getting divisive. Up in your ass tonight. I'm going to bring up one. Lily rounded us out with a little bit of Chinese.
Chinese
which
democracy.
Which I was thinking of as well. Now, this is...
Oh, my God. Whenever you laugh like that.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Because this was somebody who was known as a child singer in a kind of a Miley Cyrus she was on some television, like kids shows and stuff like that.
She was my shit, just so you know. I was an angsty teen when this came out. So.
And all of a sudden, Alanis Morissette comes out with this. I got to tell you, it's a pop album, but it's pretty freaking good. And it's got an all-star cast of characters. Flea is on it. Everybody who on it is like top players. There are two versions of You Oughta Know, by the way. Do you know that?
Yes, I have all her CDs.
Yes. And,
I have all her albums.
I like the reprise one actually better. At the end, it's got more, because it's got more guitar, heavy guitar in it. But she put out this record, and it's like all killer, no filler.
It really is.
But a lot of people that like Lou knew Alanis from, you know, these Nickelodeon type things.
You can't do that on television.
We're like, yeah, you can't do that.
That was my show.
We're like, what? Mm-hmm. And it was a hugely influential album as well. This influenced a lot of young ladies to get into, and I believe a lot of this trend we have now of girls, young ladies who are singing rock, have to kind of give a little bit of a pinky prop, at least to Alanis Morissette, because that is an edgy record. Not all the songs are like rock, but they all have that, you know, it's like balls out in your face stuff. She pulls no punches. It fit in perfect with the 90s, with this sort of like switching it all up. You know, men were no longer, you know, out there, you know, in tight leather pants and, you know, being all Rico Suave with the ladies. You know, they were more introspective and everything. Now here comes a woman who's kind of like taking that kind of balls out sort of approach with the music and getting in your face and singing it loud and proud. A lot of people loved it, and a lot of people
hated
absolutely
it.
Hated it. We were a rock band, and we played in bars, and You Ought to Know was in our set, but we would get a lot of grief from rock fans going like, "Why are you playing that crap? That sucks." You know. So
I mean, I was 13 years old when that came out, so that was what I was like. I'm like, "Oh, an angry female. Awesome. Let's do this."
Absolutely. It struck a total chord with a lot of people, as well as turned a lot of people off. So she's a divisive artist, and she has mellowed in her old age. And she is involved with some different aspects of spirituality. I recently saw her in a great documentary that is produced by Sharon Stone about meditation and things like this. And she has, you know, I mean, it's, you know, she's got kids now. She's not, you know.
She's not crazy.
Yeah, she's not talking about the guy from Full House who, you know.
Broke her heart.
Yeah, screwed her over.
She played God in Dogma.
Yeah, she played God in Dogma.
She played a lesbian in Sex and the City.
She didn't play Dog in Godma. She played God in Dogma. Dog in Godma? No.
Yes, God in Dogma.
Right. And she was in what did she do in Sex and the City?
She was a lesbian in Sex and the City.
Well, what can you say? Anyway, so that's I wanted to throw that one out there. Probably, again, it's so divisive, we probably lost some listeners. So speaking of listeners, what are people saying? What's going on out there? Who's watching? We got to do shout outs.
We have got Charlie Doyle Jr. He says, "Lillian Lou, sup, Bill Damiano, John Scanlon. If I screw up your name, I'm sorry. Michael Prado.
We suck, Bill. What? Charlie said we suck.
No, he said sup.
Oh, he said, oh, I thought you said you guys suck. Oh, okay.
Michael Prado, Billy Altman, I said, didn't I already? Dan Titus said, as far as divisive albums, music from The Elder Kiss went from sort of bubblegum level rock.
I forgot to write that freaking thing
to
down.
Thinking they were Pink Floyd.
I was at the gym today. I'm going like, I got to write Music from The Elder down by Kiss. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was on my mind. I forgot to write it down.
Also said Alice Cooper with his punk new wave era, Special Forces, Zipper Catches Skin, etc. Mary Wall says, hi. Robbie Davis said Red is awesome. Gary Wayne Cunningham, Celtic Frost, Cold Lake. I don't know if you're suggesting or telling me that that's a divisive album. Who else do we have here? Craig Condon, who are we listening to? And John Scanlon told him Dirty Honey. Angelina Green is watching. She's one of our Rock Rage peeps. Diana Swen says, hi, guys. Mark Sambuco, Jerry Colburn is watching. Angie K. Cameron Barlow, she says she's watching Rock Rage even though she's sick. That's
why,
awesome.
Thank you.
Chris Thunderwolf Dodson said, Billy, this is my friend's band Mechanism from Florida. Butch Brown says, cool, sounds good to me. He liked the song that was playing. Tony West is watching. Tracy Sampson is watching. James Gentry is watching. Russ Horwinkle says, play a song. We just did. Calm yourself. Tracy Sampson, I heard Alanis' voice very loud every single morning until it was time to leave for school. She is referring to me. That is my mother. Billy Altman says, everything is awesome. Diane Swen says, great show. Love you guys.
All right. So let's go ahead and carry on with our show. Thank you guys for all the output and all the shout outs there. Yes, I'm so glad somebody mentioned Music from the Elder because I had forgotten to put it on my list. I was at the gym today. I'm like, Music from the Elder. That is definitely. And this was Kiss trying to do kind of.
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floydish, progressive kind of.
Kiss is not.
What's the what's the word? Concept.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Type album. And Gene Simmons talked about it in his book. Apparently, there was supposed to be a whole thing with this. There was supposed to be another movie, and it was supposed to be like a big deal. But all that came out was the album, and he said it confused fans, and you know. But you know, according to Gene, everything Kiss did was brilliant.
Well, obviously.
So, if you've never read Gene's book, Kiss and Makeup, have you ever read it?
No.
I highly recommend that you read it, even if you're not a Kiss fan. Let me put it this way. If you are somebody who is like entrepreneurial. You're business minded. You have some ideas about maybe some different products or services you want to kind of put out there in the world. You think might. You should listen to his book because it is really, as much as it's a lot of fun stories about KISS, there is a lot of great business sense in there. And he gets asked to speak at a lot of business expos and conventions and things like that for a really good reason. You may think he's, I'm not attesting to Gene's songwriting, music.
But he's a great businessman.
Or great bass playing. But as far as a business guy, I think we could learn a few things from Gene.
He sells invisible guitar strings to KISS fans. So
there you are.
He wins.
Okay. What do you got, Lily?
The next one on my list is Hysteria, Def Leppard from 1987. This album I absolutely love, but it made my list because literally every time I bring this album up, people groan at me and say that Pyromania is better.
Pyromania, in my opinion. I loved, like, I felt like it was this great progression, like, and High and Dry is a cool album, and I felt like Pyromania, they really reached it, and I thought, and I get it. I know why people like Hysteria.
I do.
I understand why they like it, but I have to go with Pyromania, but yes, I'm one of those fans.
Yes, I know. I know you and Keith are actually both one of those fans, and I don't love the album because of every basic white girl stripper song, Pour Some Sugar on Me. It's not the reason I like it. That song could be off the album, and I'd still love it.
Sugar on Lily.
But the
in the name of Lily.
The album took over 3 years to get out after Pyromania. It had to follow Pyromania, which is an amazing album like we just discussed. Because of Mutt Lange's production being so detailed, people said that the critics and fans dismissed it as a pop sellout and no longer heavy metal. And by the way, it is their best-selling album to date. Just saying.
Perfect example of a divisive album. Lily and I were talking before we got started, and she was like, I kind of had a hard time with this topic, but you nailed it. That's exactly what a divisive album is. It's the kind of thing where, yeah, I get it, but I don't like it.
Right.
Tons of it, yeah.
People like Pyromania more, and I understand that. I just really love this album. It's very, I don't know, it's dancey. Yeah, so it's poppy.
Do you think it came out, what year did it come out?
It was 87.
How old were you?
Six.
Oh, never mind. I thought that, like, sometimes that happens. We get biased about this, where something comes out at a time in our life when we're doing something, you know, where
the first time
we fell in love.
Oh, God,
it was when I learned to drive, and I was going out with my friends, and this record was all over the radio, and I, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, I know you won't like this.
Go on.
But one of my favorite records is Born in the USA by Springsteen because it was my first
girlfriend. That's the only Springsteen song I like.
It was my first girlfriend that that summer. We hung out. The song was all over the radio. It brings back all those memories of that. So I'm going to be kind of swayed by that. And we all have those things.
Music defines my life. So there's songs that people hate that I love just because it was in a moment in my life. I think just I love that album so much is because I've always, from a time I was a child, loved to dance. And those songs are very danceable. So
it's rock you can dance
to. Yeah. And it was very pop rock.
Right. And they
definitely dance.
But I think that fans that really liked their more like straight up rock and roll stuff felt a little alienated.
They were disappointed.
And we're going to talk about that next with the next album I'm going to bring up, which is Metallica, or as is more commonly known as the Black Album. We talked about the White Album. We're going to talk about the Black Album. And this was an album that people were like, banging their heads. What the hell, Metallica? This is not metal. This sucks. You sold out. Oh my God, you're terrible. Boo, you know, the whole thing. And as Jason Newsted said, he said, yes, we sold out every night we play.
You're welcome.
They put out, I actually just re-listened to And Justice for All the other day. And that is a metal album. There's would not mistake that record for hard rock at all. It is metal up your ass. And for them to go from that to the Black Album was total shock to fans. But James Hetfield has talked about this many times. And he says, as they were touring with And Justice for All, and they were playing these long pieces like One with all these different sections, of, he says he could see people in the audience kind of eyes glazing over, yawning. And he was like, maybe we should tighten things up a little bit. Maybe we should take a little bit of a different approach. And yes, Metallica was one of these bands that was playing giant freaking arenas and things like that with next to zero radio and MTV support. Next to zero. And they were able to do that. So what was the only thing left for them to do? Get on the radio. So they got together with Bob Rock and said, we want to do a record people might get played on the radio. So you can't fault them for that. And this is a band, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, I believe Lily's going to bring up something. This is a band that has taken chances. And when you take chances, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to hate it.
Some people are going to bitch.
You know, that's just how it's going to be. And sometimes they have some missteps, Lulu. You know, that is a complete, I think, a complete disaster.
I didn't even bring that up because I saw you posted on the thing.
I mean, that's like, it's kind of a miracle that it happened. That they worked Lou Reed. I mean, that's like a kind of like, it's kind of this one of those things that like, I'm glad it happened. Unfortunately, it's not a good record, but it's kind of cool that they did that. And they have jumped around and they've done all kinds of different things. They did an album of covers and things like that. All right. So, you know, they're the freaking, they have metal in their name. Okay. And for years and years and years, starting from the beginning of that whole thrash scene, they were the band who was like dragging that whole scene pretty much on their own for years and years and years. They deserve whatever. I'm preaching now. But in any case, they are one of the. So this album was divisive because it went more in a quote unquote hard rock direction versus metal. Although it is probably the most badass quote unquote hard rock album probably ever. I mean, if somebody was going to do a hard rock album and Metallica does a hard rock album, it's like the greatest hard rock. It's like the hardest hard rock you could do.
Yes.
I said hard like 7 times. So anyway, so that is my, you want to.
Well, since we're talking about Metallica. Okay.
So Lily, so we were talking about, we were kind of going over this before and Lily's good. So we'll go ahead and since we did the Beatles back to back, let's go ahead and talk a little Metallica.
Saint Anger, 2003, Metallica. Alternative metal style raw production and no guitar solos. So with that, they sort of departed from their
blasphemy,
right? Metal, no guitar solos, you know, right? They departed from their signature sound. It actually debuted at the top of the charts, but got many negative reviews. People said that this was the first time that Metallica plays with any passion, but the music sounds like a mess. People hated that Ulrich was ignoring the basic principles of drumming with his high-end drum kit, including steel drums, a broken church bell, and so on and so on. And Hetfield and Hammett's guitar playing sounded too processed and were overwhelming each other with noise. So this one, Saint Anger, actually angered many, many, many fans.
But it's the name Saint Anger.
But mostly critics loved it. So, yeah, this is they've made some mistakes, but honestly, it's Metallica.
It's different.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
It's different.
A lot of people hate it.
You know, a lot of people hate it. But that album has been, again, like Born Again by Black Sabbath, that album has been revisited. Mm-hmm. And there's people that I hated it in the beginning or have come around, some friends of mine and stuff like that, who've come around on that record. Said, no, there's some very cool things about it. Again, you know, believe it.
That's just jumping I hate it already. That's all
right. Yeah, yeah. I just hate it. I don't hear it.
I'm like that, though.
I just hate it.
I don't even hear it. I don't even know. I don't even know anything about it. I hate it. I just broke my ring.
Wow, that your engagement ring.
No. God, get out of here.
Your engorgement ring. Anyway, any who's it's. So Metallica, but, you know, again, like David Bowie, like the Beatles, like Led Zeppelin. These are bands that want the Police. Even the Police really, their first record, you go to Synchronicity. There's a lot of stylistic evolution that happens there, and when bands do that, sometimes you hit Sometimes you miss, but you got to give them credit for like trying something different. Unlike certain bands, AC/DC, that have done basically same album since the beginning.
The problem is the fans, and I'm not like totally blaming the fans, but you guys got to give the bands a chance when they try something new. Yeah, it's that they're steering from their regular sound, but they wanted to try something new. You're their fan, so continue to be their
fan. At least give it a shot. Come on, have an open mind.
Listen to it before you hate it.
I felt that way about Metallica too. I felt like metal fans were way too hard. I felt like they didn't understand this. They were just, you know, because there's so much other metal out there. It's not like, you know, because Metallica did the Black Album that all of a sudden metal's going to tank.
Yeah.
In fact, the Black Album probably got a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily listen to Slayer to kind of, wait a minute, who's these other bands that I always hear mentioned with Metallica, like Slayer, like what do they sound like?
Right.
And it probably got Slayer and Anthrax a few fans as well. So you have to put it a little bit in perspective. Speaking of, we're never going to get through everything on all the lists.
We never usually do.
I'm just trying to think of one. Real quick, I just want to say, I do have Nevermind by Nirvana because, you know, so many, as big as it was, so many people feel like, fuck you, Nirvana. You killed rock and roll. It's enough to be said about that, Lily V6. Do you want to talk about it? We both have this
one.
Yeah,
I wanted to get this one in before the time was up.
This is one of those criteria we had was sometimes there's a major lineup change that some fans absolutely are like, yes, and other fans are like, fuck you.
Which is, this is one of the ultimate debates in rock music, is 5150 Van Halen 1986, the first one featuring Sammy Hagar as David Lee Roth's replacement. And Sammy versus Dave is one of the biggest debates ever. Every time we talk about this, people are like on the fence about everything. And most people were confused with the choice by going with the Montrose singer to replace the Balls to the Wall frontman David Lee Roth. Most critics gave it three stars or a C+, called it a failed experiment. Regardless of those diehard Roth fans not wanting anything to do with the new lead singer, the album went to number one, surpassing 1984, which was number two, behind Thriller, that Eddie made a guest appearance on anyway, so win for Van Halen, whatever. But I love Sam, he's my man forever on Van Halen. I love all the songs that he did, and this is a great album, so I'm for it.
I'm kind of a bad person to talk about this because I'm one of those people who I see the two Van Halens as kind of two separate things, and I think that they're both great,
which they are.
I think that
I just have a preference
that with Dave they were more of a rock band, with Sammy they became more of a pop band, and I think you heard that starting to happen on help me out here,
I don't know what you're talking about.
1984.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I said that.
I had a brain fart there. But on 1984, I think you started to hear with I'll Wait and Jump being, those songs are a little bit more pop for Van Halen. And to have that kind of to carry on, I think that this is kind of the direction that they were going in. They needed a different kind of, Eddie needed a different kind of collaborator, and they needed a different kind of singer.
Well, Eddie wanted to do different things, and David didn't.
If they were going to kind of, you know, progress, and the band did progress. If you listen to their music up through 1984, and then you listen to their music post-1984 with Sammy Hagar, they are two, almost like two different bands.
That's legit.
It's like, you know,
Sammy's my preference, but I do love, I love both.
And Sam is, David is a great frontman. Actually, we always say Dave's such a great frontman.
Well, Sammy's more mellow, though.
But have you seen Sammy Hagar live?
Yes.
He's a damn good frontman.
Yes.
He's an excellent frontman, and he's like 70.
He is.
And he's still can belt, and he sounds freaking awesome.
And he doesn't look 70.
Yeah, So, I'm one of those people who like, I was totally with whatever they did. Part of it is because I'm a guitar player and Eddie Van Halen is like my hero. But I just hear what they did. I understood where they were going with it. And a lot of fans just, they can't catch up. Real quick, we're just going to kind of run through some others on my list that we didn't really have, we're going to have time to get into. I had Exile on Main Street. Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones for you kids. Nevermind the Bullocks by the Sex Pistols. That is, look it up.
Well, Sex Pistols in general.
Right, right. Led Zeppelin 1. And this is a little more obscure. This is more of a But this is a Yankee Hotel Foxtrot by Wilco. This is where the band departed from their alt-country kind of sound, Americana sound that they had up through albums like Being There. And people loved when they did Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, they brought in they played the studio. There's a lot of cool studio stuff and interesting things with sounds and things that they did. It's kind of an experimental album with all the songs, though, having a really great structure and being super, super catchy, even though the instrumentation and the arrangements and stuff were very, very odd to the typical Wilco fans. A lot of people hated that record. I think it's brilliant, and a lot of other people, too. It's one of those records that divided fans. Wilco's personally one of my favorite bands, so I brought it up. What do you got that we didn't get to on your list?
My list has left on it The Final Cut, Pink Floyd, from 1983, right after... It's unused material from The Wall, plus other stuff. Eliminator, ZZ Top, they changed their sound to more 80s synthesizer sort of stuff. Lost a little bit of their bluesy fans, but gained some new, younger fans.
Oh, hell yeah. Big because of... this is a band from the... There was a lot of bands that could not... go from the 70s to the 80s.
And they did.
But not ZZ Top, man. They were right there. They found a way to adopt
their
look and everything. I mean, brilliant, really. But go ahead. I'm
sorry. Done with Mirrors, 1985, Aerosmith. This was basically, this was supposed to be their comeback. It was totally failed. It was, Joe Perry was using recycled stuff from his solo album. So that was on there. And
it was like an E for effort kind of record.
Yeah.
Like, it was great that I kind of felt like, okay, they're getting back on the horse.
It wasn't done.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, they're getting back on the horse. It's the original lineup. Joe Perry is back in the band. It'd be like, okay, the Rolling Stones without Keith Richards. No.
It doesn't work.
And that's what Aerosmith tried to do on a record or two.
Yeah. You
know? But anyways, go ahead. Done with Mirrors.
I did Kilroy Was Here in
1983-6. Yeah.
It did have two great songs on it, but... It was trying to. There was just too much plot. It comes off simple-minded, and it was just mostly filler and uninspiring.
Yeah, there was their. Ironically, after they had done Paradise Theater, which I think is their magnum opus. That's a great album. They did Kilroy, which is like, although it outsold Paradise Theater, it's just, I think that people bought it and got it home and went, oh, listen real quick for the kids. You couldn't go to YouTube and listen to the songs first.
Right.
Okay.
You just had a deal. Yeah. You had to buy it.
Okay. I'm sorry. Anything else?
That's it. That was my list.
Okay. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We are going to go ahead and get out of here in a minute. A couple quick things. First of all, and I forgot to mention this. There's just so many people we need to thank. I need to thank Chris Thunderwolf Dodson and his company, Wolf's Customs. I'm holding up the card. Chris, I apologize. We didn't get around. We just got into the topic today and got away from us. But Wolf's Customs, want to go to wolfscustoms.com. They do custom painting on your electric guitar. I don't know if they do acoustic guitars or not, Chris. I'm not, but he knows he does electric guitars and basses. It's very cool stuff. You can check out some samples there at wolfscustoms.com. Thank you, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Shout out to Rock Rage Radio, of course. You guys are awesome. Thank you. If you love great guitar-driven rock, okay, and you don't know where to go, and you're going like, the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus isn't playing right now, or I've already listened to it this week, and I want to hear some more great guitar-driven rock, Rock Rage Radio. Just go to Rock Rage Radio. Yeah, 24/7. You can stream that, thing right in your car, and jam out with your clam out. Balls deep rock and roll.
Yes.
All week long, 24/7. And speaking of Rock Rage Radio, Lily?
My show, Thursday nights on rockrageradio.com, or just download the app for free, is Hot Licks with Lily 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I do interviews and I do play local bands as well as mainstream bands, so check it out. 6 to 8. You can check it on your drive home.
I'm sorry.
On the...
That was giving
double
me,
shot
I was
of giving, hot Thursday nights.
I was giving you my hot licks.
I know you were. Oh, Chris said he'll try. He tries anything. So get acoustic, electric, what have you.
All right. All right. Wolfscustoms.com. Right now, before we sign off, we're going to play one more band. We're a little light on music tonight because the topic was really intense. Go to LouLombardiRocks.com. We're going to pop over there now and do our after show. It's a little more relaxed. This is pretty relaxed. It gets a little juicier. We just kind of...
I'm feeling pretty juicy.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
Guess, so this is a little kind of like a post-podcast wrap-up. We hang out for half an hour or so in there. There's some really cool people there. And you just by going to LouLombardiRocks.com, you're going to get involved with a community of people that are really freaking cool. Like, we had a little disagreement this week about, Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow.
Really?
And some of us love that song. Some of us hate that song. But there was no, well, you're an idiot, man. There was none of that. It was just like, we agree to disagree.
It's
so
very
we can
respectful.
Talk about stuff, and we can have fun and enjoy ourselves. There's a lot. Guys are posting some funny stuff in there as well. I do a lot of Facebook Lives in there. A lot of if you want to know a little bit more about riffs and songwriting and stuff, I show you guys some stuff about that in there. I do some gear reviews and things like that. So it's a great. I can't stress enough the community. It's just a really awesome community of folks there. And you go to LouLombardiRocks.com. You can get right in. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And the bands we had tonight, I should give a quick review. We started with Dirty Honey. You go to DirtyHoney.com. We played Mekanism, MEKA-NISM.com. This is a band called Lane, and their website is Lane Nation. That is L-A-Y-N-E, LaneNation.com. My apologies to Lou Lombardi. We could not get to his song tonight, so Lou will play your song next week. But we're going to wrap it up here with Circumstance by Lane. You can go to LaneNation.com. Give these guys a check out. I think that this just absolutely kicks ass. And Sean Lane is a member of our inner circle group at LouLombardiRocks.com. So you get to mix it up with Sean, and, you know, it's a cool thing. So check it out, guys. Circumstance by Lane. Guys, have a great week. We'll catch you guys on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Statement.